The Koivic Pod on Off the Ball.
If Arsenal don't become attractive in that way that they're going to win European Cups, Chelsea will continue to attract the players and continue to become the most powerful team.
Subscribe to the Koivic Pod on the Off the Ball app now.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Welcome along to the Sunday Kickback. Myself and Brian Kerr have just been watching Manchester United's 2-0 defeat at home against West Ham. The worst thing about Manchester United this season is that they're in the Europa League, so they always play on a Sunday, and we end up commentating them on every Sunday, because it feels for about 3 months we've said, this doesn't really matter. Like, we're past the all-time low stage for Manchester United.
Yeah, the last couple of weeks I've obviously covered the two games with Brentford and today against West Ham, and you knew before the game, first of all, you wondered what the team was going to be, because you know the manager is thinking about protecting players, for as it was last week for the second leg against Bilbao and today again for the final against Tottenham. So it's a mix and match team, young players like Amash getting a go, other players being trying to get their fitness levels up, they haven't played very much, Mason Mount and Luke Shaw, players like that. Other players been taken off, then Yarrow been taken off early in the second half, four changes been made. So they're not interested really in the results, so the performances reflect that, the players know that. And
is that understandable?
Well, it is understandable, because the priority is it doesn't matter an awful lot whether you finish 16th, 17th or 18th. I mean, I know there's a couple of million at stake. It sounds like big money, but it's not in terms of comparison to qualifying for the Champions League. So the manager, while he doubts the quality of a lot of the players he has, he still wants to put out the best possible team he can when he gets to the final, because it will reflect much better on the season if they qualify for the Champions League but win the Europa League after what's been a disastrous league season. Will it be remembered in a year or two's time that it was such a bad season? I think less so if they win the Europa League. So you can understand perfectly the manager doesn't want to play his best team in every match. He wants to play a team that he thinks can compete in the match to a degree, but that protects some of his best players. I mean, I'm even surprised he plays Bruno Fernandes in the games. Now he's the captain and he has a good, he's a good record of fitness levels and not missing games. But at the same time, I'm still surprised that he risks him, given how important he is to the goal scoring and the creation of goals.
And the one defender that he risked backfired, because Lenny Yarrow went off injured, and maybe that'll be the main takeaway from this game for Manchester United. He was a nailed-on starter for that Europa League final, and it looked like a foot injury, but it was more his reaction when he was going straight down the tunnel. He had the jersey over his head. It looked like there were tears in his eyes. He looked like a player who's going to be a massive doubt for that game.
Yeah, well, he's a young player, you know. I mean, he's obviously very ambitious. The season hasn't gone particularly well for him after expensive transfer. But it's hard for us to know how serious it was. You observed that reaction very well. Maybe he's overreacting. Maybe it isn't too bad. There's still 10 days to go to that game. But he's the important player for them. I think he's relatively important. Not only is he important, as I said, about Fernandes, Ugarte to a degree as well. I mean, he's one that seems to play all the time, irrespective of what match. How important, if the match is important, the Garter players, Bruno Fernandes players, Hoyland players now, because there's no option. Now Harry Maguire has become a key player as well. But, you know, there's a lot of the other players, there's not much between them, I think. So I don't think it matters that much.
And the fact that Luke Shaw is back, fit and starting games and did very well when he was on the pitch today, he would probably be the obvious replacement then.
Yeah, left side centre back playing there, is not his favourite position or his natural position. But he's big enough, tall enough to play at left centre back. I think they miss a bit in terms of the attacking stuff he gave them when he was a fit left wing back or a left back in a four. Playing inside, he's a bit more restricted. I don't think he's a great centre back in the three by any means, or in the four. Either, I think his best position is on the left side, but I think he's adequate enough. But look at Lindelof, Maguire, and Shaw, none of them would be a first choice. I don't think any of them were first choice for the manager. Mm. This manager, even, some of them have played themselves into his favour by doing their stuff when they've got a game. I think Lindelof will be one of the ones who will go at the end of this season anyway. You look at Casemiro as well. He didn't play today. They're now protecting him, where he used to be a bit of a midweek player when they were still going in the league and the Europa League. They were always in, always comfortable enough that their midweek team could win. And Casemiro will be in that. Now he's suddenly been back to, oh, he's a first choice. We need to mind him. Don't play him today. So it's all a little bit messy. But
yeah,
but
very hard to predict, actually, probably what that 11 will be that will start the Europa League final.
Yeah, but then, but now the last game is out of the way. Bar someone gets hurt in the training, at least they...
Well, Chelsea on Friday night.
Oh,
but
sorry,
again,
you've still got that game to play. That's another one. I forgot about that one. You're right.
If this was a...
And Spurs
5 days.
Spurs have the Villa game as well coming, and they'll have the same. I think that they'll put out, you know, I think last week's team was the youngest team that put out in the Premier League. I think that team, the team for the Chelsea
something
game,
similar.
I think there'll be even more of the youth players will get a game in that, because it'll be stupid of them to play any of the main men in that game.
Kobbie Mainoo's name came up a lot in commentary in the first half, where you were trying to figure out what his position was, and he maybe has been one of the biggest victims of the sort of turmoil at Manchester United, from a position where it really looked like here was maybe a midfielder they could stake the next 5-8 years on, to now obviously speculation about his future in the summer, that somebody they could cash in on for financial reasons, but also what is his position? Where does he play? How does he fit into this system under Ruben Amorim? What are your thoughts on Mainoo?
Well, I tried to give my thoughts during the match. I don't see him playing in one of those two tens, as they call it now. Play, I'd say inside right, inside left, advanced, up close to the centre forward. I didn't look comfortable there today. I didn't think he looked like there was great desire about him doing anything to run beyond the centre forward, or to make angles for passes that he would receive in the ball with his body position turned facing the opposition goal. He seemed to be often receiving it with his back to the play and playing simple passes, but not very effective in the game. I think, you know, I thought from the early stage of the game, maybe he's playing back a bit closer to Ugarte, which is a more natural position for him, where he was very effective when he made the breakthrough. Mm. I remember seeing him when he made the breakthrough. You go, oh, look at this lad breaking through, coming from the deep position, running with the ball, got a few goals last year, hasn't scored this year. You know, I don't know where he fits into it, where he is, as you said, one of those players that they can sell and balance the books and help them to buy other players that the manager wants. But I wasn't impressed with him in that position today, and I thought the team was less effective with him in that position rather than just swapping Bruno Fernandes, who is used to playing that position and has been effective there for most of the season.
The two goals that West Ham got, the first one, Amad Diallo with a sort of half-hearted lunge in the area that didn't come off, and Kudus get away from him. And then Ugarte, who's, I guess, sort of meant to be your hard man in the middle of midfield, tries to shepherd the ball, gets a little touch in the back, loses his balance, goes down. Is that a lack of desire?
Well, I think all of those things come into play. The manager doesn't pick the best team. The manager's juggling players around. The whole media profile is about the final of the competition. So there's players starting the match saying, he's left out your man to protect him. He's left out Casemiro, Harry Maguire, Garnacho, Lindelof, Doku, but he's put me into the match. I'm going to mind myself today. I'm not going to go. We saw there was very few tackles in the match. Aaron Cresswell got a yellow card, I think, won the game, West Ham player. So I think there's a mental problem there for some of the players. They're saying, I need to protect myself today or I might miss the final. I don't need to be going through this match. And so he had the ball and he used his body a little bit to protect himself and Wan-Bissaka. Wan-Bissaka nicks it off him, plays it backwards, and he just falls on the ground, and then he gives up. And that's part of that going, I'm not really going to burst my neck to get back outside and try and rescue the situation as Kudus runs away. So I think that was the problem.
Sounds like it was a similar situation at Tottenham today. They made a huge amount of changes. They're beaten 2-0 at home by Crystal Palace, and that means Manchester United are 16th and Tottenham are 17th. There's only the three relegated teams beneath them, but in 10 days' time, they're going to meet for a place in the Champions League next season. Spurs have had the upper hand on United in all three games they played so far this year. Does all that go out the window? Does it balance out the history of Manchester United know how to win these sort of trophies and Tottenham don't? What are your thoughts on what might happen?
Well, I think both teams have been poor this season. Spurs had a lot of injuries. The manager felt over-lent on that as an excuse when he had the centre-halves particularly out, injured other players around the pitch. They had plenty of players, but they were dependent on some young players, the likes of, you know, Archie Gray and Bergvall in the middle of the pitch, over-reliant on them. And but I thought tactically they were too loose. How would they feel about going into the final against Manchester United, having beaten them three times this year? I think they'd feel a bit of confidence about that. But the rest of the season, they won't feel confident about. They've lost so often, they've conceded so many goals, and there's been lots of games they've been ahead in that they've lost. That they feel, even if they're ahead in games, they'd be going, oh, if we lose a goal here, we might get beaten. So I think they've got a big difficulty in that. Manchester United's point of view, it'll be, well, we played very well in this competition. Spurs wouldn't even, I would say, claim. They can't claim that. They played well against Eintracht Frankfurt and Bodo Glimt in both games. Bodo Glimt wouldn't be, not coming from Sweden, and there wouldn't have been a team expected to get the semi-final and beat Tottenham anyway. And you could nearly say the same thing about Frankfurt, Eintracht Frankfurt. Although it was a good win over the two legs, they scored a penalty in the first match and drew 0-0 in the second match. But a lot of the other games in the group stages, they scrambled through matches, even against AZ Alkmaar. So I don't think they've been great in that competition. Manchester United have been a bit more impressive with the recent win, particularly Bilbao. That was a solid victory. So I think Manchester United's experience over the history of European football should give them the edge. But neither team can feel, neither set of supporters would feel particularly confident. One criticism we made that these teams are so far down the table, they shouldn't be in the final. They're not in the final because of their form in the league this year. They're in the competition because of what they did last year, where they finished roughly in a similar position last year, up around 6th and 7th in the table.
Yeah, United won the Cup, yeah.
So. And Manchester United won the Cup. But that's where they were last season. Manchester United won the Cup and gets them into... So that's why they were in the competition this year. And the criticism of them being in the competition, I don't think it's fair. I think it's fair to criticise how they've played this year. And that maybe... You know, it takes away, you look at the final last year, Leverkusen and Atalanta. Leverkusen won the league in Germany and Atalanta finished fourth. And we were looking forward to that final so much in Dublin. And it was quality football. Mm. Atalanta on the day were brilliant and they outplayed Leverkusen. The two teams this year have been in such good, poor form and poor form defensively. They've earned the right to get to the final, but not on their league form this year. But it's still, it's a final worth anticipating because of the history of the two clubs and, you know, where they come from as well. The fact they're so close to us and lots of people have a big interest in those two clubs. It should be a good final, but their league form has been disastrous.
Thanks for today, Brian.
Thank you, Nathan.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.